So now we're going to have some back and forth and questions from the board, but I want to—I'm not going to look at any hands yet. So hold on a second. I want to make a proposal because what ends up happening in our discussions is they tend to scatter and it goes back and forth. So I was going to propose that I'll call somebody. They're going to make a statement, a question, what have you. Then what I'd like to do is ask whether other board members have comments or questions on that same topic, on that same issue. Take those all together and then ask for a response. Would that be okay with people so that we get some depth in the discussion rather than just bouncing all over the place?
Sure.
Is that okay? Okay. So Evelyn beat everyone with a punch. She came over and asked me. After that, we'll just go around. Evelyn, you start, and then I'm going to ask. And if you could start by just making one point, even though, like, I've got seven. Start by making one, and we'll keep coming back to them one by one. Go ahead, Evelyn.
Okay, well, actually, I think I only have one. And that's my concern. I got the message that you guys don't like muscaries. That was extremely clear. However, when the urgency of getting carts done for elections doesn't happen, and I don't care what we say, those of us who are at these stations during the elections know that many times the carts weren't done in a timely manner or in a regular manner for the elections. And so to say that we're going to do it, that's wonderful, but it has to happen. And that's the concern that the body has when we do things and say, okay, this is a must-carry. You've got to run the carts for the elections. That's something we shouldn't have to say. But we had to say it because it wasn't happening. I know there were issues at my station this past election getting the carts done for the elections. I know that. I was there. And I heard the process. So when we're talking about we don't want to hear must-carries, we want to collaborate, that's a two-party street. You want us to do some stuff. Well, you guys have to do some stuff, too. And you have to do it, not just say, we don't want you guys telling us about must carries because we're going to do our part. Sometimes you don't do your part. That's why we end up talking about it here. So when we're talking about the must carries, and I don't want us to get bogged down with a net on an elephant's butt. And must carries are not the majority of what happens in the programming across the network. And if you want to hear the issues of the day and be the primaries, you determine the programming. We're not trying to dictate day to day. I don't think. I know I'm not. And I don't think the whole body is. And if we, at the news department is critical. We have to put resources into the news department if we're going to have good news. And it means they have to have equipment, they have to have people. And sometimes that's an issue. So when we're talking about the collaboration and you're in your group and talking about it, what I would like to hear come out of that also is how do you address building that resource that you need to get the level of news that we're talking about? Because if you don't have any reporters or if they don't have decent equipment to go out and get that news or the ability to go out and do it, then we end up with what we have right now, which are news departments that are not able to have story-breaking type of energy. It doesn't happen just because we want it to. So what I'm asking of you is that if you need something from us to make that happen, then don't just tell us you don't want must carries. Tell us what you need to do the groundbreaking news stories that you want to have that we're not trying to tell you you can't have, but that we're not hearing.
Okay, I'm going to let people know when they've been speaking for 90 seconds because I know we all have got a lot. Who else would like to speak on the question of must carry?
I would.
That's a shock. Ambrose, I'm going to bounce back and forth instead of go around. Ambrose?
I'm really disappointed because all I heard was the views that there's a difference in vision between the board and staff. There are differences between the board and staff over power issues, and you use the new word collaborative. How do you think Democracy Now! Came into existence? The decision was made by three stations that it would be a must carry. Therefore, all stations had to carry it. And that's now one of your biggest producers of income. Wouldn't have happened otherwise. How do you address the issue of how we function as a network? What does collaborative mean? All you have to do is set up a system to do it, a structure to do it. And you didn't address the structure. And that, to me, is a dishonest way of dealing with an issue that's very important. Either that, or we stop lying to the public that we are a network. Because we're not a network unless there is a way to make certain that every station carries something that's important to this nation. That's dishonest.
Okay. I want to ask the board, even if we feel that there are issues about honesty or integrity, I think statements of that sort set us further back in the ability to communicate. So if we could speak to whether or not we felt that those issues are legitimate or not, it'd help. But, all right, Chandra,
this is not on must carry.
I want to go on the must carry issue, and I'm going to take everybody who wants that. Then I want to hear from the PDs in response. And then, so AC, and I'm just going to keep zigzag. I'll just zigzag back across. AC, is this on the must carry issue?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No.
Can you be on the mic? Ambrose, can you share your mic with me?
Yeah. The question that I want to raise is in terms of the collaboration. Do we have it now?
He's on the mic.
Okay. Wait a minute. The question that I want to raise has to do with in your consideration yesterday, with respect to must carry, did you think of anything yourselves that you could develop for the network to consider in terms of a must carry? For example, Eva, you raised the issue of, and Ambrose has raised, about the whole issue of acting as a network and how far we are off. I think you raised that question. But my question is there any reason why Pacifica couldn't have a collaborative carry of a weekly program on news, that a summarization of news with all the stations participating, if they wanted to, or if you wanted to narrow that a wrap up on the news, so to speak? You know, that goes on commercial station, and the public seems to respond to that kind of thing. So my question is that can that be considered something under which you would look at the issue of collaboration?
LaVarne, and then I'm going to go Mary and Lisa, and I'll come back this way.
Yes, thank you for the presentation. It's really good. I'd like to see everyone there working, and in terms of getting together, that's very important, and that's something that we've done to do in finance also. But this question will kind of apply to everyone. It's what I think AC and Ambrose have said. You know, what measures are you using to monitor and the effectiveness? And unless we can monitor this and have certain goals to achieve, I mean, it has to be part of this process.
Okay, Mary.
Yeah, a couple of things about this must carry. The one thing with respect to what Evelyn said, carts and things of that nature, they're not the same thing as hour-long or whatever programs that are being developed or would be. So, of course, things like that might be must carry. However, when the board does get into daily operations like mandate, what sort of political protest we ought to make and how long it ought to be, I think we're getting way far into the day-to-day. And further, I don't think our job is to be a pack for the different issues that go on. To make those things must carry, I think, goes beyond what the bylaws say our role is. Our role should be to inform people how they can get informed about these issues, not necessarily to advocate all over and to take up time. The last thing I want to say is there is a balance, and everybody mentions this, but when we talk about it's not a network unless we have programmings of national interest, what about the communities? We call ourselves community radio, and our five stations have very different geographical, demographic, and you name it, differences in their communities. A thing could be very crucial. Let's say we had a station in New Orleans, okay? We don't, unfortunately, but if we had, would we want to preempt all their local programming from the time that people are dying all over and the place is being flooded so that we can present a program on national issues of constitutional rights or any other worthy question? I don't think so. So we have to very much consider, as equal as the national needs, what do the local communities need in their own area? And we have to hear from listeners and other people, that the people of each station have to be hearing from those communities. Constantly we need surveys that need to be done and such like. So I want not to lose sight of that in the must carry.
Okay, I got Lisa, Mike, Lydia, Rip, Sarv, Ray.
First of all, I wanted to say that I'm very glad that we're having this kind of conversation because there needs to be more communication between the boards and the various staff people. So this is very important. And oh, thank you. That doesn't take away from my time, does it? Please, as long as the pause doesn't take away from my time, but and it's important for you all to understand how we're doing things. I want to say I've never been a proponent of must carry. I think that there's a lot of issues involved, and I think it's so important to know what's going on in those local communities because you'll get a lot of ideas. But having said that, I think that, or I have always perceived that there's a difference between saying you must carry a program and between doing something like what would amount to a cart, maybe a little bit longer than a cart, which people play anyway. And I just want to say, because there have been some issues that have come up, and I, for one, have never been of the, I don't think we should ever give the impression that we're some static, stale board that is indifferent or doesn't have feelings about what's going on sometimes. Some issues come up that you have to say something. And I know as somebody sitting on this board, when the issues are coming up in my community, sometimes you got to speak on it, like the 50 bullets with Sean Bell. And I know then I was a proponent of, yeah, let's make a statement saying we don't condone. And I know there's been talk even in terms of the board, in terms of how will we do this at times if we want to do that. But so then, having done that, and to say, well, because I know when I was advocating that to be playing on the station, I wasn't thinking of it as, oh, well, let me hammer them over their head and hit them with it. But as a way of letting people know on these stations that we took this position and that we support the community and that we are as a board. And so, therefore, to have it in the motion to say that it will also be carried on these stations, that people would take this, what would amount to a little bit more than a cart, and play it, which is something that the stations, in terms of playing the PSAs and carts, do anyway. So I think maybe we could have a little bit more dialogue about that. Thank you.
Michael.
I'll take my responsibility as a board member to give you my impression, because if everybody did that, we wouldn't have much time for this kind of thing. But what I kind of heard was something that I would call transcendental, which to me means it doesn't go anywhere. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It maybe shouldn't go anywhere. But I understand fully the dialectic, or maybe the trialectic, between or among local stations and their interest, local station autonomy, and then you have local station status quo. And then you have, you know, program directors answering to the board, and naturally they would be talking about, you know, our interest, which is national networking. But in my mind, the transcendental, the idea that somehow we're going to start communicating among each other when I know what goes on in a station day to day, it seems, I don't think that it's going to go anywhere. And I kind of agree with Ambrose about, if you really are serious, there's got to be a process in place to drive something forward. Thank you.
Lydia.
Yes, my concern is that I didn't hear anything that provides for an alternative to the board going there. And the example that I want to use is a Spanish language news program that was originally put out as a must carry. There were reasons for that. But and it was all within the context of serving the individual station demographics. I would like to request that this group come up with a mechanism where internally you would discuss and hash out the issue of, why if all five stations have a real need for Spanish language programming, then please tell me what are the reasons, so that it's one general manager talking to another one, one general manager that's carrying it, hashing out what the issues are, because you do have some commonality. Then if it can't be worked out at that level, then I think it's incumbent on us to say, oh my goodness, this station is almost predominantly Spanish speaking and there is no Spanish language programming. That's just an example that I'm using. So I haven't heard anything concrete about what you would be proposing. And that's one. And then my last thing is that I take issue with the chair. I would hope that the chair will refrain from imposing his opinion in editing other people's comments. I did not think Ambrose was out of line, and I really take issue. Just let us have an honest debate and discussion. But anyway, so back in that is, I just want something concrete about that, and I do have another issue separate from this later.
We'll do that after we hear from them on this issue. Rip.
Yes. I want to say that I'm really pleased to see how the teams at the stations are working together. This is just a natural that should happen at radio stations. And I think that it's not going to be difficult to collaborate on programming, because as different from some of the things we've just heard, I believe that there are a lot of common interests around this country. And the only way that we're going to convey that is through what's called national programming or collaborative programming, whatever you have. I really was supportive of the program director speaking, but then I heard kind of a little bit of a warning bell there when I heard managers talk about possible abilities to interfere with this based on financial or other kinds of reasons. And it kind of reminds me of the Security Council, where one nation can stop all discussion by the other nations about a very important issue. And so it concerns me that a station manager may interfere. And what I would want to know is, what kind of autonomy do the program directors have in determining what programs are going to be collaborative carries?
Sarv.
Thank you very much. First of all, I applaud most of our managers and directors throughout the network. I think that they're doing a tremendous job. I think each one of the stations, if you go there, you listen to their programs, I'm sure that you can come up with about half a dozen programs that could probably would be candidates to become national programs. Now, we can take issues with that, and I will be the first one to take issue with this must-carry business. You see, if you were to look at the mission of this network, what it's for, we could be a network, and we are a network of five stations, but each one of the stations is a star unto itself, and they can produce programs that would envy any other radio station in the country. And we have done that in the past. And I don't think we ought to wait for some big guy up in the sky is going to come out there and, you know, illuminate the universe and solve all the problems. We have to make each one of our stations so strong as programming, and we have to put our resources into them so that they can tap into the resources of our communities and the talents that are existing there. And if we're going to take our resources away from our stations, and then you say your programs are not good, you know, not to quality, and give us the resources, but we're going to thrust some from somewhere else, from the national programming, I'm going to oppose that. Because if you look in the mission of it, it says to establish, to encourage, and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, communities in which you sit. And we are supposed to educate the community itself and its issues that concern the lives of the people there.
That's
so
90.
Even though I think that, you know, we ought to honor some issues that are of worldwide nature, and I think that most of our station managers and program directors, I think they have savvy enough to accommodate those issues when they come along and broadcast them throughout the network. But I think that we also have to give them autonomy to have tap into their own creative energies.
Thank you.
And I want to hear more from you.
Ray?
Well, I too want to congratulate you on the absolutely vital work that you do. As you can see, we're not united on the board either as to this important question. For me, it's a vital one, and I will look forward to working on it. I think that I agree with my sister here that I didn't hear from you our possible alternative, because this is a problem we cannot run away from, that we do have to resolve it. I don't think it's, for me, what's important is not the technical thing of playing a card or not, although clearly this is an issue. But it's not necessarily a contradiction. It's more like, I guess, on the left, they used to call a dialectical relationship so it's two aspects of a problem. It's the old, you know, think globally and act locally. And we do it not only the way Mary said, because this is the right thing to do, but this is what works. People support things that they feel they owe, that they're part of. The same way I would support every time there's a system that is established to change the reality of the staff, that every time the staff has a say. It can take a little bit longer. I think it's worth the investment. So similarly, I like to look at, for example, Democracy Now, as Ambrose just said, is a success. We have the Spanish language program. Somebody like Bernard was around in WBI when Democracy Now was established, it clearly was a miscarry, but it was done under a huge consensus among the different stations. So there has to be regularly a process of consultation, and that's what I like to begin doing. And maybe the board can set aside some of our divisions to focus a little bit more on that. I think that 90. This is something that we cannot walk away from.
Okay, I'd like to finish up. I want to say two things. The first is, it's great that you guys are here and we're having this conversation, because I think a lot of the problems have arisen from, you know, not enough communication. And I hope we survive whatever bumps in the road so that it keeps up. The one thing that was curious to me in all your statements was the one issue that I didn't hear anything about was the issue of space at the station and programming space. And when we're talking about must carry, it's as relevant to this question as anything you guys talked about, which is you can have all the wonderful ideas in the world. The question is, how are you going to organize space to provide yourself, A, some creative latitude, and B, the ability to make changes when changes need to be made. And that's relevant.
Excuse me, Dave. You said we were sticking to one issue. You're going on to another topic,
I'm not. Chandra, trust me. And I'd like not to be interrupted. So when you talk about the question of must carry and what's going to go into a slot, without any knowledge of how you use space, it's a question. It devolves into this question of who has what power over whom. And whenever we deal with who has the power over whom in the abstract, we run into trouble. The other thing that I just want to say, so you understand what it sounds like from our perspective, is, at least from my perspective, my impression is that the manager and the program director has the absolute unilateral authority to dictate what's going to happen on their station. You can say this is going to be off, this is going to be on. But when I hear you guys talking about your reticence, what I hear is, I don't want there to be anybody higher up in the network that has that kind of prerogative with respect to me that I have with respect to the air on the station. And so that creates an interesting kind of dynamic when we hear that. So those are two of my thoughts. I have a couple more, but that's my time. So I'll turn it back over to you guys for responses.
Hello, everyone. This thing on? Okay.
Up a little bit.
All right. Here we go. I'm not a station manager, but I have been at Pacifica long enough, a couple of decades, despite my youthful appearance, to actually remember when the first no carry or must carry edict was issued by Gail Christian. And I know that the positive effect and what some believe to have been the negative effect that actually had on the network and the programming. And so when I sat in a meeting yesterday, and also as someone who is a part of the national staff, has been the one to have to lobby some of the station managers to carry national programming, I understand exactly what is at stake here. But I was really heartened by what I heard in the meeting yesterday. I understand your emotions that, you know, there's programming that needs to be carried. But I think what's happening here is this particular group of managers and this collective now understands that there needs to be a collaboration. And rather than moving forward in a spirit of conflict and combativeness, what I think we're moving to here is the spirit of we're going to be on the same page as we move ahead. We are going to communicate regularly. There have been structures put in place to do this. There are meetings that take place every 2 weeks between the managers. A lot of things that weren't said initially that I'm sure the managers are going to get up and explain to you in a minute. There are structures in place that will help us to be able to move ahead as a group on the same page without having to issue mandates and must-carries. And it was really important that we change from the language of must-carry to collaborative, because that's what's going to happen. We're going to talk about these issues. We're going to identify the priorities. We're going to realize what is important. And collectively, decisions will be made that will serve this network. So, I mean, I just want to tell you, I feel a lot better having sat in that meeting yesterday. And I would just like to sort of tell you all to let's relax a little bit about this. I think there's progress being made here. And I think that the managers will share some of the specifics as well.
Relaxing is a good thing. We have to remember to do it. There's a couple of things that we talked about yesterday, and just so there's a couple concrete issues I want to bring forward. Some of it is my own. Some of it is what came out of the meeting yesterday. One of the biggest problems we face as this network is the issue of space. And so anytime we have to do national programming or we want to do breaking stories, this is the challenge that you face at the station as a PD, as a GM. You run up against, I have to take somebody on the air. Am I going to take on this war? Not on K, because we have a policy, and somebody else might have a policy. We have a policy for breaking news. Anytime, and it says anytime that there's breaking news, the news director can break in on KPFK in any program without any notice. So that's one. And I strongly recommend that that is not this particular policy, but that we have that kind of policy that is national, so that you don't have to second guess whether you can break in. You just do it because you have a policy that says so. Different stations have different preemption policies, and even though we've had a lot of oppositions at the beginning, you know, 3-4 years ago to preemptions, and to some degree we still do, people give up their time when they are notified that they are preempted. And part of it is to include people in national programming. Some of the other challenges with national programming is you hear the same old voices. So we're not developing new talent. If we're looking at the Gonzalez hearing yesterday, yes, it's good. It's not good enough that we did the Gonzalez hearing. If we don't have progressive analysis following a hearing like that, then what are we doing differently than mainstream America? And we can connect people on an issue like that. If we connect people with call-ins from around the network, then people feel a national presence. So those are basic things to do, but also the sharing of programming. All the GMs and PDs yesterday talked about there was a willingness to open up space on the airwaves. So that's a big breakthrough. There was a willingness to open up space so that there is opportunity to do national programming, to break in more. So I think that is one way to go. But also the national programming body of this board operates separately from any of the staff and any of the PDs. So it might be that this body is reconstructed to include some of the PDs and GMs. I don't know who. But then The discussion about programming just don't happen on a board level. It happens with all the stakeholders involved. So that's one of the recommendations. I think it's really, really critical that we develop new voices. But when we come to the sharing of programming, California has been dealing, and LA has been dealing a lot with the issue of the raids on immigrants. We know that Houston deals with a lot of immigrant issues. And so whether it's Houston or D.C., if stations come together, if we know there's a critical issue going on and two stations collaborate and you have a syndication, or like David Adelson mentioned last night, the program called Law and Order on WBAI. Disorder. Law and Disorder? Maybe I just wanted Law and Order. So if you have Law and Disorder, which we won't have yet, collaborate with a Lawyers Guild at KPFK on the issues. if we address issues like labor, like healthcare, like education, like housing on a national issue and make our listeners, train our listeners to become more attuned to listening to different voices and not just the old voices that they hear all of the time on the station, I shouldn't call them old, then you create that sense of national programming and people are more attuned and so not so opposed that when somebody is not on the air, they're going to hear a national program. So that's how you create, you know, the network coming together. I have a couple of issues and then I'll get off. I have for the past 2 years, Ambrose, addressed this issue with the GMs and PDs about having a one-hour national newscast. It happens on I suggested on a Saturday. It's an hour long, and it's the top stories from all the stations, including affiliates that we produce. There was never any discussion on it, and I still hope that we can do it because it would be easy to produce. But again, it comes back to what the lady from Houston, Evelyn, said. You know, if we don't have the resources, then that becomes the challenge. So when we do have the budget meetings coming up, that's an important place where GMs and PDs should play a role and be able to say to you as a body, this is where we're going, and that's what I'm talking about, planning and visioning. This is where we're going next year, but these are the resources that we need. And then we decide how much can we put aside for news, for new programming, for new initiatives, for training, you know, on a national level. So I think those are some of the things that needs to happen. But the most important thing is that we need to create better organization, better infrastructure, and we just, equipment-wise, the stations are not in good shape. And we need to look at those issues if we want to do groundbreaking programming. And, you know, KPFK Pacifica, we are known for what we do and the kind of programming that we do, and the surprise element of Pacifica programming has fallen down the wayside. So we need to bring that surprise element back. We just dealt with we're still in the process of dealing with the boycott at KPFK. We were accused of anti-Semitism and being anti-Israel. And we turned that thing around and make it an exciting thing at the station where we engage in programming and got our listeners involved with addressing some of the people that were involved. But I think if the bodies can come together to have discussions, on our OC call, we have every 2 weeks the PDs and GMs with national staff come together. And maybe on that call is another place where some of the members from the programming committee of the board can participate in when we talk about the issue of programming. So the more we come together in different structures, I think the easier it would be to take on some of these issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Once again, thank you for the opportunity, folks. I do want to reiterate the need to give this coming together an opportunity. And I want to expand on that comment by addressing what Lydia brought up, which is the issue of Spanish language programming. Many of you might recall and remember, you know, the presentation I made in Walnut Creek on this issue. And as many of you know, this issue hasn't gone anywhere, folks, both figuratively and practically, in terms of the on-air. But let me tell you guys something. As one of the, if not the strongest advocate of this topic and issue for this network for quite some time now, I too have gone through those frustrating periods. I too have had those passionate opportunities to engage many of you personally and these forums here. But I got to tell you, I came yesterday and had an opportunity to engage my colleagues. And prior to coming, you know, we all think through, we all strategize and kind of figure out what it is and how it is that we're going to approach these issues. And could I have come and described the inevitable statistically, demographically, you know, socially, politically, culturally? Of course. You know, hell, I think we engaged in some of that back in NFCB just a week ago with some of my colleagues in the programming departments. But instead, one of the things that I realized in coming together, it was the need to have this opportunity to engage and discuss these issues such as Spanish language programming. It was important for me to sit there, and we did have that discussion. And one of the reasons we don't have these alternatives is because we are just now coming together. Hell, some of us had never met, you know. And in one day to hash out what will be the alternative is just impractical. But I am looking forward to having these discussions in a well thought out, organized manner, as we've already planned to do our PD discussions, which, again, we didn't have before. And I'm looking forward to having this important discussion with my colleagues in a well-informed manner. I will hold my colleagues accountable to this issue, as I've held this body accountable to this issue. Believe that, because I am like the Latino demographic in this country. I'm not going anywhere. And in fact, like the Latino demographic that's growing, I too will continue to grow, probably, you know, sideways and shit, but it's okay. You know? But you know, it's important to know, folks, that, you know, I was listening to them, and I realized that, yes, we didn't have that very important discussion that allowed for us to develop that consciousness that says, yes, I now understand why we need Spanish language programming. And we didn't have that discussion that allowed for us to provide alternative, you know, formats, models, or even just alternatives to the Spanish language programming.
Well,
you know,
could you explain how what you've described?
Well, yeah, but
How what was described here changes the dynamic about bringing a national Spanish language.
Well, let me articulate one important position, and I'll bring up Ernesto. I see his arm in the corner. You know, how we serve the Latino, Mexicano, Chicano demographic, which there are distinctions to be made in Los Angeles, will be very different than in Washington. Will be. And it will be different to some degree in Nueva York, Houston, you know, across the country. And I now have a better understanding that putting this uniform one-hour project, I could see why that was a challenge. That's not to say that we shouldn't do it. Let me make that clear. On the contrary. Rather, how do we go about informing one another as to how best to do it? Not entirely to dismiss it, and that is not what I'm saying here. You know, but with due time and with the opportunity to engage one another, I am hopeful. I am very hopeful that we'll come to an agreement and understanding, because as I said to that body, you know, while I do not agree with the must carry, there are thresholds that have been crossed and will be crossed and so forth before you have to bring it to these additional bodies. But let me let Ernesto expand on that. Thank you.
I think one of the things that was really encouraging for me in having this discussion about must carry and what programs end up getting carried. A little bit better? There we go. Even closer? How's that? Much better. Beautiful. Was it just the discussion of must carry and collaborative programming? I think there was a comment about we had to do must carries in order for folks to do their jobs or whatever else. I think part of the issue for us is just the number of local issues that are going on in many cases, as Armando alluded to. One of the things for me that was most encouraging out of this meeting was a discussion about Nathan helping facilitate with each of the station general managers and program directors what national programs you're carrying right now. What specific issues are you looking at? What specific issues are you having locally and with the program itself that we collectively can try to resolve in order for you to A, take this program, or B, move this into the most ideal space? Maybe that's a timing issue. Maybe that's an issue of inclusion. Maybe this is just a discussion that many program directors and general managers have just not had an opportunity to have with someone in Nathan's position just by virtue of the fact that he is fairly new. So just being able to come to an agreement, and I think I speak for everybody right now because I didn't hear any disagreement with this effort, to get everybody at the table and let's talk about where these programs are at and really get Informativo on all these stations, all of our national programming in the most ideal spots, and really find out what the issues are, really hash those out, try to resolve them, and really all get on the same page in terms of where those programs need to be. Thank you.
Does anybody else want to talk to this issue before we move to the next? Yes, go ahead, Ron.
The only thing I want to say is this to the board. That collaborative carry concept also includes you. It's not just about us collaborating with each other, but it also involves collaborating with you. We expect you to have concerns about issues. We expect you to come to us and say, you know, we are concerned about this particular thing. What can we do programmatically to address it? Well, that's where the dialogue starts. That's what we're here for, to turn those concerns into reality. And Well, once again, that's what we're here for. So that collaborative effort, that collaborative carry concept, also includes the members of the board, not just the members of the management staff. And I just wanted to make that point so that everybody understood it.
I heard two words that I thought were very interesting and important. One was dishonesty, and the other was dialectics. I think we need to have a bit more of the dialectical process. But, you know, this is the first real exchange that I've been involved with today, the meeting that we had yesterday and this morning, in, like, about 20 years. And, you know, it just has not happened. So the question is, are we a network? And I say that what does network mean in the Pacifica environment? What is a Pacifica network? What does it look like? We have to begin to have these kinds of discussions if we are truly going to develop a network. And please, don't say that the efforts of genuine, hardworking people who are very much interested in the future of Pacifica is dishonest. I mean, you know, we just have to figure out another kind of way of dealing with it. If you don't like it, that's one thing. But don't say it's dishonest, because folks came together and began to talk about how they viewed Pacifica through their experiences. Their experiences are valid. The ideas that they've come up with are valid, and they don't contradict the relationship that you have or what your responsibilities are. As Ron said, we're going to work together. We can't ignore each other. So what a report coming out of this committee, I think you should take it, look at it, don't be upset by it. We're still in the process of developing it. It's going to go even further. We only met for a couple of hours out of the last 60 years. So just bear with us. We've bared with you, and we'll all move forward.
I haven't spoken, so I thought, I'm a rookie, so I'm only going to say a couple of things. I don't have 20 years of experience like you all do. I am also disappointed, just like Mr. Lane, because I thought this was going to be a conversation. I didn't think this was going to be the same thing we do every time we report to you. You ask us questions, you get mad at us, the division widens, and then we go home, and yeah, we have that kind of relationship. So we need to change that. And what we were talking about in terms of mass carry, it became an issue of mass carry, but it was more than that. It was more around the issue of governance and operations. So we talked about how we look to you for vision and for leadership. And part of the reason we got together yesterday and we were able to talk about goals and priorities is because of leadership and because you provided vision. So we are those who implement. Of course, we should also be part of the discussion about what the vision is, and we want to be. But we're also the ones who have to go, and we have issues that on a station level, each station has issues that you all need to be aware of and consider. We at least expect you to consider them. So a few people said things like, what do you need us, what would you like us to do, Dr. Bethune, who I wish was here. We would like for you to fundraise. A lot of discussion happens about resources. Do you need resources? Yes, resources take money. They have to be bought. They have to be gotten from somewhere. And so it would be great if you could, just like have a strong programming committee, it would be great if you had a strong fundraising committee. The archives continuously struggles with funding. The stations struggle with, especially with national specials, special programs. Whenever some event breaks or there's a hearing happening or Katrina happens or there's a World Social Forum in Kenya, we don't have any line, we don't have any resources to actually be there and do the work that we need to do. So it would be fantastic if you could fundraise. We talked about structure. We have some systems in place. We like some, and we recognize those that are in place. We would like to get together, continue talking about how we strengthen them. But we also would like to develop more systems and structure. So we hear you and we are on it. We talked about surveys. We'd like to ask Mr. Hicks if he would purchase SurveyMonkey for all the stations. SurveyMonkey is something that we can use to gather data from listeners whom we don't hear enough from. What is the authority PDs have in making programming decisions? I mean, I don't think of authority as power or authority. It's responsibility. Like, you are responsible for specific things as a board. We are responsible for specific things as managers. There is an chief operator of KPFA, Michael Yoshida, does specific things. He has expertise to do those things. I, as a manager, do other things. I do human resources. We collaborate. We talk with one another. We work together. But we also recognize the separation of responsibilities. It's not about power. It's about how do we fulfill. We want to fulfill our responsibilities in the best way. We want to utilize our skills and our relationships with one another to make our stations incredible. But we need you to also do your responsibilities. And if there's any way we can change this dynamic of question and answer, that would be great. We'd like to hear from you what your visions are. What are your priorities?
Speaking of that, I don't know any more efficient way to do the back and forth than this way. But over the course of the weekend, the discussions that everybody's going to have one-on-one, I think, will fill part of that gap. So now, who has something on another topic? Yeah, I had recognized Chandra first long ago, so let's start with that, and then we'll do some other stuff.
I first of all want to thank you for all coming together and acknowledge how much we appreciate the work that you do at your individual stations, and I hope this is the beginning of a dialogue, and I hope we will continue to have these discussions and that you will continue to have these discussions to help build that dialogue. This issue that I'm going to raise is not a matter of a criticism. It's a matter of to heighten your consciousness and to hope to put this on the table when it isn't often on the table. And that's the issue of a major part of our population that is disenfranchised and underrepresented. And that's the issue of the community of the disabled. This is a community that's not going away. In fact, it's growing. As a result of the Iraqi war, not only are we going to have a tremendous amount of more disabled, physically disabled people, but many, many more mentally disabled people, especially because they are forced to go back even when they're suffering currently from post-traumatic stress syndrome. And if we think that what happened in Virginia Tech is bad, oh my goodness. You talk about going postal, well, there's going to be a new going Iraqi or something like that, I'm afraid. I'm really, really concerned. A friend of mine was recently reading a book, and he pointed out to me that in World War II, 53% of those that were injured died. In this war, the amount of injured that died are down to 10%. And why is that? Because medicine is so miraculous that people are being saved. But how are they being saved? They're being saved because limbs are being amputated or other parts of their bodies or mental parts of them. They're incapacitated. So we might have less people being killed, but we have more people being disabled. On April 28th, is the 30th anniversary of the federal 504 legislation. And it's really important that this is remembered, and it should be something that's on national programming radar. I'm not saying it's a must carry. I'm saying it's a should be, and it's a recommendation. I know KPFA is going to address this in their Pushing Limits Collective, and I know the KPFA News is going to cover this. I'm sorry KPFA walked out of the room when I mentioned this, but I hope other stations will consider this and not consider only this, but to keep the issue of the disabled on your radar. And it's just very simple, like when you have a board meeting like this, you don't open one door, but you open two so that people in wheelchairs can enter. Thank you.
Thanks. Anything further on the disabled? If not, I'm going to go to Don, Bob, and then Bertolt. Don?
Yes, I do want to also offer kudos for this meeting. It's very inspiring, and this will be the last 60 years that we only give 2 hours to it. From now on, it will be... Yes, that's right. I want to deal with raising the visibility and the presence of Pacifica nationally through national programming. And I also want to talk about an issue this board has talked about in the past, and that is the aging demographics of our listeners, which is critical to many of us. The I think average age of our listeners is like 55 or so on. And I want to kind of merge those two. Also, looking at good radio, exciting radio, Sasha actually mentioned earlier an issue that I'm interested in, and that is youth programming. So I want to kind of put out the idea that Pacifica have on a regular basis, like every month, a program like Youth on the Air, or some more creative title, because that was pulled out of thin air, where we could... Yeah, and it should be put back. It needs all the air it can get. I know that one. I want to promote the idea that some of our national programming can be promoted in publications like The Nation magazine and other national publications, targeting especially high school, college, and university newspapers, putting out Pacifica. And on these programs, they would be the voices of youth in addition to our own programmers. And it doesn't have to just be the five stations, but the affiliates, like in Mount Vernon, Washington. RIP could have students from the Mecha chapter at Mount Vernon High School and other places. The advantage to this is that if youth see that there's a program every month that Pacifica is broadcasting nationally and has the involvement not only of our five stations but also affiliates, that they will begin to move toward Pacifica in greater numbers. Because a high school newspaper, you can get very inexpensive advertising. And if you have items like teen suicide, the isolated adolescent on campus, militarization of a generation of youth, or the militarization of our schools through the horrendous program of military recruitment that's going whole hog. Now, coordinating this with departments of outreach and promotion, it could become a program that would actually be looked to by youth, at least in our signal areas and our station affiliates, could be looked to like they're giving us voice. I'll close by saying KPFK did a program, and I want to compliment the management there. It was a year or two ago. It was on teen suicide. It was the most compelling program I've heard with the actual voices of high school and middle school youth talking about kids they knew who had committed suicide and what could have been done to come into their lives and try to prevent that from happening. It's good radio. We need to look at the demographics. Thank you very much. I think this means 20 minutes. Is that it? Yeah. We need to look at the demographics, and I think national radio, national programming should look at some of these programs as a monthly, so that our listeners get used to listening to them, and that so the promotion that goes along with it can be regular and effective.
Bob?
A new topic? Okay. Well, first, as a footnote to the earlier discussion about Muscari, I just want to pick up on some points that that Evelyn and Ambrose and Eva mentioned about the need to collaborate on consistent national news production, and just suggest that maybe the next summit should be around news that includes news directors, but also, very importantly, free speech radio news as we move towards our discussions in the coming year of how are we going to move towards full incorporation of them into the Pacifica family? And there's a lot of very thorny resource questions as well as content questions and issues about priorities and coverage that I think if those folks were sitting at a table together, more than I've ever heard has happened in the past, we might be able to move past that. But anyway, the new point I want to bring up is about the process of inclusion of ideas and input on decisions by the actual day-to-day programmers and producers from throughout the network. I think the meeting that everyone had yesterday was very positive, and the level of collaboration and creativity sounds like it was excellent and really, and you know, as Bernard said, something way overdue. It should have happened a long time ago. But now there's another step that has to be taken, and some people have sort of alluded to it, which is that both the process inside of each station has to be more inclusive of the voices of the producers who actually do the day-to-day programming. And then when national decisions are made, actually Eva touched on this point, that there really has to be a genuinely open process for deciding not only who is the host and the producer of a given special, which is a very critical decision, but also the content, the priorities, what type of guests do we want to invite on this special about the Gonzales hearings or the Iraq War hearings? What is the area of emphasis? Do we want to focus more on veterans or more on the U.S. Imperialist strategy? All of those issues, there's brilliant people throughout our network who do programming day to day who are not the nationally known stars. And there's not really any clear process. People don't hear about it until after the fact. XYZ has been named as the host of that special next week, and the guests will be A, B, C, and D. None of us were ever asked what we thought about that. And so I think that's a critically important thing, and that also speaks to the structure of some of your own meetings in the operations collective, that I think you have to think about the channels for including, perhaps through program councils or other structures at your stations, people who can be part of those teleconferences that are not just management, but also the people who actually do the day-to-day programming that keeps this network alive. And similarly, I think the final point is that I think what happened yesterday was a good start, but the reason I would not want to call it a summit is that the key players were missing, and so that couldn't be a real summit. And I think you ought to think about having a real summit at a bare minimum by teleconference, but since those are so awkward for large numbers, maybe even Pacifica spending the money to have an in-person meeting at which a large number of programmers from all five stations are invited sometime in the next year and do some broad visioning. I don't really think the board is the right body to do that. I think that is, you know, of course we can have a say in that, but I think the heart and soul of this network are the producers and programmers, and they should be the ones doing that brainstorming and visioning.
Okay. Does anybody want to follow up on those points? I know Verna wanted to. Does anybody on the board want to add something? Go ahead, Evelyn, and then we'll go to you, Verna.
Well, I want to first of all say I really do think that the meeting yesterday was great, because anytime we can get the body together to sit down to talk and do something other than Robert's rules, it's wonderful.
Point of order.
You know, I was going to do that myself.
Bring out the holy water.
Thought better of it.
One of the things that I wanted to comment on, sort of ditto on what Bob was saying as it relates to making sure that our volunteer programmers know what's going on, because in a lot of cases, many of them are left out of the loop and they don't get it. You can't send them an email because they don't read their email all the time. There has to be a way. They also don't check their mail slots. We know because they're running over. The mail's pouring out on the floor. But there has to be a way for PDs to really make sure that the folks that do the programming are in the loop and know about the national kinds of things or the network issues that we're talking about doing, because in many cases they find out after the fact and it just continues that process of feeling excluded and not being a part of, and therefore the dialogue and the walls are still there. And that's across the board. That's not based on race, color, gender, anything. It's across the board. I know that because I actually talk to programmers occasionally. Yeah. Also, the communities that the stations service, what Lim Lim was saying about being able to actually get outside of that regular circle of people who show up at the LSB meetings and talk to other listeners and survey them and talk to them about the programming that we do and is it relative to them. And then people who are in our listening circle who may not listen to us and find out why and how we can get them. That is so critical to us being able to increase our base of funding and listeners. And so far, it's not something that, you know, we talk about it, but it's not quite on our radar as something that's critical. And that has to come from inside the station, not just from the PMB. We have to figure out how to do that because we know who our neighbors are and who the communities are that we service or that we want to service.
Thank you. Verna?
I wanted to speak to, I'm right up on it. Okay. To Bob and Evelyn and AC's concerns about the News Bureau, because believe it or not, we have initiated a dialogue between the news departments in Pacifica. There is a wealth of experience, news directors throughout this network that is feeling a little bit neglected in that they feel as though some of the news has been being outsourced. You know, as wonderful as Democracy Now! Is and Free Speech Radio News, there's a feeling that news directors at each of the stations throughout the network are not really having enough of an input into the national product that we're putting forth as the Pacifica product, and that there needs to be some very strategic collaboration done to address that. We actually have a news directors summit that we are planning. Bob, so you mentioned that, maybe you're psychic, I don't know, but we've already talked about that. And we want to find a way to bring together all the resources and the talents and the contacts and the years of experience that we have in these various news departments and bring them together to produce a Pacifica brand national news product. And that's something that we're very committed to doing. The GMs here and the program directors are all on board with that, so we've already, we're underway with that.
And did you say FSRN is part of that too?
We have not spoken to them about that. We would love to do that. Mm-hmm. Love to do that. I see Chandra's here. Maybe we can talk with her afterwards. But one of the things we'd like to have come out of that is a progressive wire. Why can't we rip and read from a progressive wire if there's going to be a need to do that? That's a result of a collaboration of all of the news gathering done on our part. And we could also include the FSRN family and the Democracy Now! In that as well. So we're way ahead of you on that note, and I'm glad to hear that so many people are concerned about that because we are going to need the board's support for that. And it's going to, it may take some dollars to make this happen. Not a whole lot because we've got people in place already in the various stations, but we're going to need your support. That's all.
Bertolt?
Yes. Wow, so much to say, so little time. First of all, I'd like to thank the programmers and everyone else for having gotten together. And I'd like to personally thank Greg Guma because I think we've been talking about this for a long time, and I think Greg had a lot to do with getting this happen. So we have to give kudos for that.
And while you're at it, I'll just insert the long work of the programming committee to create the position, and that's all part of a trajectory.
Yes, most definitely. I was listening to the presentations, and I was especially impressed by the subject covered by Bernard, the themes and content, not talking about the local issues and international issues, and I'm glad to see that. The programmers and the managers at the station are also aware that, the quality level of our programming has gone down. And I've been talking about that a lot. And it's not a criticism of the programmers or whatever, the network. It's a criticism of all of us. And I see that it seems like it to be a concern of yours. And we do not have really too much investigative reporting. I remember around the time I keep on referring to the Iran-Contra affair, the Grenada Revolution. We used to cover things. We used to break news. We used to bring things. The radios, the station used to come up with stuff that, I would almost risk getting fired at work to listen to. Now I just don't even bother. So I think that's a very important issue that we have to keep in mind. Programming committee. There has to be some structure because, you know, like the programmers at the stations feel totally disconnected from the decision making at the local stations. And so how are we going to get their buy-in? I think we as a board are kind of jumping, you know, like Bernard said, it's been 20 years since there has been nothing and an officer and there's one meeting and we expected them to have a structure. That's not possible. But I'm positive this is going to happen. You know, I think we're pushing this too fast. I think we have to let them meet a few times, few months, to figure what's going on to gel and to start thinking of a structure. We're rushing this too much. And then, like everything that's rushed, if we rush it, it's not gonna be good. I have one personal concern, and I know that's very controversial. It's about diversity. And, you know, we keep talking about diversity in this network. And you know, let's be honest, diversity in this network, when we talk about it, we're talking about black and white, colors and things like that. But, you know, I'd like the programmers, the program directors and the general managers to think about diversity in this sense. There are issues that affect all oppressed people, black, white, green, that are making $5.25 an hour. So when we address and attack those issues at any local station, it doesn't matter what, I mean, Hispanics or blacks or Haitians are anywhere in the world, they are all affected by those same issues. And so when we talk about diversity, I mean, we have to start opening our mind. And I'm really, like, not only talking to you, I'm really talking to the board here about this is becoming a political issue, and we really have to become honest in addressing what we mean by diversity. Diversity of ideas, concept, you know, Marxism, right-wing fascism, as Bernard was talking about. These issues are diverse issues that affect our daily lives. Okay, so I'm counting on you to really make this happen in an honest and effective way.
Michael, was your thing a follow-up on that topic, or would you like a new topic?
New topic.
Okay. If it's all right, I'd like to follow up on what he said. It has to do with when he talked about breaking news and investigative reporting and whatnot, and it relates a little bit to what I've always talked about the structural adjustment of the network that took place in the 90s in community radio, which is the shift in how you produce things and the existence of paid people to do certain tasks, and you've got unpaid people to do other tasks. So over time, I hope you guys will address the question of how you, and this also relates to space also, the space you provide to people and its flexibility has an effect on what kind of contributions you can get. So I'm hoping over time to hear like strategies for how you develop the kinds of sources of news or other kinds of contributions that he's talking about. It doesn't need a response right now, but I'll come back to it on a separate issue. But Michael disappeared. Rip, did you have another thing?
But mine had to do with resources. Is that...
On a new topic now, I think.
Okay.
And you had one more thing on that issue,
okay.
Evelyn?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I did. I wanted to say one more thing in terms of our news department and also the conferences and things like that keeping people in the loop. We have a lot of new people who come into our stations. They may not know what a lot of these conferences are, where they are, when they happen, and nobody tells them. Until they hear somebody say, oh, we're getting ready to go to New Orleans to a conference. That was the first they ever heard of it. And yet we want them to be up on everything that's going on. We have to figure out a way to really disseminate all of the information to everybody so that there is, you know, an opportunity for everybody to grow, not just that same circle that's been doing it for all this time.
Rip?
Yes, my comments have to do with resources and who develops those budgets at the stations. If there's a need for personnel, if there's a need for money to pay for coverage of different events, if there's a need for some equipment at the station, I think it's up to the managers as well to come up with to make some hard decisions about how they may want to realign what's happening at the station in order to contribute to those, because where would that money come from? If we're being asked as a board to provide resources does that mean that we're supposed to direct national office to take less money or to allocate money to individual stations for that? And does national office actually have that to sustain ongoing year after year support for such news services? And so I would challenge each station as well to come up with some kind of proposal on how you would realign your own finances at the stations, and then bring that to the board. And then if there's a request to the board to adjust the way the budgets are divided, then we could talk about that collaboratively. But just to say that we need more resources, I think, is just something that doesn't go anywhere, because where's that money supposed to come from?
I really want to follow on the issue of resources. Does anybody else have something first on it?
I have a separate issue.
Mary?
It's not on, so I can't help that. I can go louder, however, a big mouth that I... Oh, there. Right away they turned it on. Interesting. Okay. If I heard you correctly, you're saying stations ought to budget to have more of their resources go to these things that have been ponied about. We're talking about the listeners of those stations, but I heard at least Art... general managers say that we ought to be doing some of the fundraising for this.
Yeah,
so when you
ask where
these dollars are going to come from, I don't think they should come off the backs of the individual stations,
that's
because
right.
Who up here is going to buy the equipment that they don't have in the various stations? We're pretty well off, I think, compared to others, but our equipment has been there since 91, and some of it isn't happy being there anymore, and it wants to collapse all the time. So, and other stations have more needs. So I think personally the fundraising from the stations, from the listeners, who really see very little benefit, you're talking about training them to like other voices, well, they're not Pavlovian creatures that get trained to salivate on command. So I think their hard-earned money, and it is, ought to go to the stations that they're listening to, that they come out to work for, answer the phones for, and in the streets for when we needed them. So I kind of don't like the idea of people taking more money away on the national level from the stations to support. We're already paying something like 20%. So let's see where that is going first.
Rob, is this on the resource issue?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I think that we, as a foundation, have to look at alternate sources of revenue. For example, if you look at the National Endowment for the Arts, the National Endowment for the Humanities, if you look at the Open Society Institute, if you look at the Ford Foundation, there are large organizations that make money available for programming, not just radio programming, but it includes radio programming, that we don't go after. And that's something where we can all collaborate. But I think one of the things that we also have to recognize that we can look at is our ability to do wonderful programming that will help us reach larger audiences, maybe regional, maybe national audiences. As Ambrose pointed out, almost one out of four of the dollars that we raise comes from Democracy Now! There are other programs that we have, local programs that can be raised to larger audiences, which can also help us generate larger audiences and generate more revenue in the fashion that we raise it now. So I think that those discussions also should be conducted between all of us, because there is the potential for us getting that revenue. Thank you.
On the resource issue, I want to come back to this, what the change in the network, which was part of those changes people have been around a long time know. We didn't have paid programmers in like morning shows or strips back before the early 90s. And part of that rationale was that some of those programs were intended to be syndicated more broadly through the KU band and the rest. And so the economic model was really one of, well, we're going to pay producers and then we're going to syndicate this stuff more broadly to help underpin it. And going forward, I'm on the finance committee, it's not at all clear to me what the sustainability of the paid programmer model is. You certainly couldn't ramp up and have, like, I don't know, three additional shows with paid programmers based on existing budgets. But you have a certain number of paid shows. Now, at KPFK, My understanding is our biggest fundraising shows are not actually the paid programmers, I think. There's a couple of unpaid programmers who do quite a lot better, and I don't know if you've looked at what's the relationship between the shows that are produced with a paid producer model versus shows that are produced in other ways, and it may be over the course of the next 6 months to a year, if you could think about that, it'd be helpful, because that whole model is under stress. It's really under stress when you look at those budgets and that personnel it's hard. So how would you want to spend money within a programming budget, and is the existing structure of spending on your programming really balanced the way you want to? If you guys could come back over the course of next year with some ideas about, you know, should it really be this way, or how might we reorient it, I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. Yeah, on the resource question? Chandra had one thing on the resource issue.
While I appreciate and I'm very sympathetic of Lem's appeal for the boards to raise money, and I've heard, you know, I know that we really should take more responsibility in that regard. There are other types of resources that we as a board and other listeners as well can provide to the stations that come in handy and are needed from time to time, such as equipment, such as people power. And I think one of the best ways to get that resource is to, when you need it, when you need new equipment or when you need more people to help do whatever it is that needs to be done, to put the request on the air. Because how do you reach out to your listeners, who are your greatest supporters, if you don't tell them what the needs are, if you don't identify, we need X, Y, and Z. And I'm not just talking about fundraising time. I'm talking about any time when you want to put together a new program, or you want to you need a new computer, whatever the resource is that you need. I mean, it's not always money, and I know money is critical, but it's not always money, and maybe your listeners can provide it.
Eva, you want to follow up?
A couple of things on resources, but also, Dave, I've stated this point before with regards to paid programmers. I strongly support paid producers. And so, but I think that that's a national issue, that really Pacifica needs to make a decision whether they want to go back to all volunteer programmers or not, because I think it's very difficult for just one station to do that. So I might get hit over the head after this discussion. But that, I think, you know, I feel more comfortable putting money into training and be able to develop young people in the community with the money that we put into paid programmers. I'll give you some examples on budget. Over the last 5 years, KPFK have built 6 new studios. That included 2 new studios, 2 production studios, simply by telling our listeners, this is our vision, this is what we're going to be doing. And 2 years ago, we came together, management and our local board, and we decided, well, you know, the way forward is to put more money into news. So we did that. We put more money into news producers, including bringing on stringers. So it took us 2 years to come to a point where we actually have a decent budget for stringers. So if we can do that on a national level, that's why I said it comes back to the vision. If we all know where we're moving to, then we can allocate resources, and then we can say to listeners and to paid and unpaid programmers, this year, this is our priority in terms of where we're going, the resources we're needing. We're putting money into news, or we're putting money into this area or that area. And even though people don't agree, they are more comfortable moving in the direction if you show them what the direction is. And I think we need more. The budget discussion that happens around the network is not one that really gets down to the nitty-gritty of what the stations need and where we're going on an annual basis, on 2 years from now. I know that this is where we want to go. We know exactly what equipment and resources we want to buy this year, and we can say to a programmer, you know, this thing is going to have to wait for down the line. And the other thing that I think is, we have a lot of opportunity in Pacifica for major donors, but we don't have a strong major, we don't have, I think, any major donor national campaign going on. And one of the things is to come together to develop that both locally and nationally, because there's a lot of opportunity in the progressive world, particularly in LA, where you have all the progressive who's who in Hollywood, but we're not cultivating them. And so if one of the things I talked about recently is to be, for every fund drive, to go on the air and say KPSK is going to train in between every fund drive 15 to 20 high-risk youth from these different types of schools. So we ask a major donor to put money for one kid, $1,000 per kid. And so we can go back after, at the end of the fund drive, or the next fund drive, and say, we've trained 20 kids with your $20,000. And I think it's a matter of building credibility and more trust with the listeners and being able to say, we've envisioned this, we've delivered this in terms of our resources, and that, I think, helps a lot. Thank you.
Michael.
Thanks. I'm the chair of the technology committee, and for the for the P&D, and I guess I would ask you. Well, there's a lot here. I'm pretty sure that we should have our minds into HD radio, maybe because that will replace analog radio. That's what I can tell so far. But we probably should keep in mind some sort of top-down network structure. The metaphor for it, so I better be careful. But it's very ego-driven, radio, and it's our responsibility as much as we can lift our weight and change the world. That's great. But, we definitely should have HD radio in mind. I kind of assume that they're going to drop HD radios in the car, and then the radio is going from analog to digital. And there, with the caveat that there will be MP3 downloadable radio things in the car. And maybe my emphasis on cars has to do with that I come from Houston or something. But the best I can predict what's happening here, I'm trying to do right now. Anyway, what I'd like to do is figure out a process, because what I keep seeing is that we can't get a grip. And I want the technology committee to have a grip. So I would like to ask the directors. I guess Nathan, he must have just stepped out of the room. I want to talk to Nathan a little bit, I guess, this weekend. But how can the technology committee function to affect a real HD and DDD, digital distribution technologies? And I would ask the program directors how we can at least coordinate to function well, so that our efforts on the committee and on the board are working well.
Does anybody want to comment on that, or do you want to think about it for a minute and we'll have some other questions? Go ahead, Ron.
As far as HD goes, I think one of the things that we must remember also about this that project is that the stations have to come up with matching funds. For WPFW, that's about $75,000. Business managers, program directors, general managers, when we look at $75,000, we say, well, do we have that? Can we raise that? Will we have to put something on hold to do this? There are a lot of considerations. The desire is there. But Pacifica National can't help us in that regard financially, or at least hasn't expressed any desire to help us in that regard financially. So those are considerations that we have to look at. For W, for example, we are still revisiting the idea of moving. Do we, take that money, that $75,000, do we invest it in that move, or do we invest it in the equipment which may hinder our ability to move? So these are just some of the considerations that we have to look at. The desire is there. The desire is there amongst all these stations to upgrade what they do. But the financial constraints can be impediments to getting that done. We applied for the HD conversion 2 years ago, and were accepted for the program, but we didn't have the matching funds. Now, we reapplied again this year. More than likely, we'll get accepted again, but we'll have to make a decision at that point as to, you know, whether we can actually afford this or not. Is there some other way for us to get that $75,000 to make this happen? So I just want to make you guys aware of that in terms of HD. The desire is there, but finances is another matter.
I'm talking more about how we can work.
We have very little time left. I want to get the remaining questions. I got Lydia, Chandra, Ray.
Okay, mine's on a separate issue, but it's very brief. It's just on the evaluations, whereas Nathan and others, I would like to also see some consideration of peer review evaluations versus just management to programmer review. It was attempted in the 70s at KPFK. It was very productive and unfortunately not followed through because of a change in management. But people are initially resistant to it, but then it becomes the quality of the program and it's not as ominous as it is always managers reviewing.
Chandra.
Can I actually respond to that very briefly?
Yeah, very brief.
30 seconds. We actually at the NFCB last week went to a workshop, a number of us, where looking at some models that do just that. Not only peer review, also self-review, also a PD review, a management review. Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, you'll pass. Okay, Ray?
My question has to do with, in a way, connected to race and nationality and particularly to activities of the committees of inclusion. Part of what those committees are charged with doing is looking at looking at the different communities in terms of ethnic composition, geographic distribution, and so on within the listening area, and see how they're represented in the station. How those numbers in the community are reflected in the station in terms of staff, programming, and the people who run for office for the local boards. So do you have a national system to or do you see it as a local issue? When those committees do request those figures, or those institutions, which I believe some of them you need for CPB compliance, is there a national system that you're aware of where you could identify the different groups that occupy those listening areas for the needs of the Committee of Inclusion? The committees of inclusion.
As far as the CPB is concerned, the requirements deal specifically with board and governance structure, and also with station staffing, as I think you know. And obviously, we have to maintain that kind of information and do.
One of the criteria, there are three criteria, and one of them is audience diversity.
Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't mention audience diversity as well, and that information we have available to us. When you're talking about a much broader scope and really talking about 1,000 people or more rather than the 300 to 400 that are a part of the staff and a part of the governance structure, that creates a different level of data collection. And I think we've discussed this on another level. And one of the problems I mentioned to you earlier is that we don't have, quote-unquote, central control of all of that information. We do not have the names, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses of all of the people who are volunteers who are working for these stations. You'd say, well, obviously you should have that, but it just does not exist at every station. And so what's happening is on a case-by-case basis, we are attempting to get that information. But again, because we're a California corporation, we can't compel people, and that's part of the problem that we have at this point in going to that extra level. Someone applies for a job, we can request the information, or multiple people apply for the job, and we can separate it from the application process. So we can do it at the front end, and for existing staff, we can collect, and for boards, we can collect information. But for volunteers, it's more problematic, and we don't have that problem solved at this point.
How about the listeners? Listening distribution.
Well, we have a general sense of what they are from the standpoint of data that's collected by the industry. But
I'm saying is that suppose in BAI, the Committee of Inclusion sent a letter to the general manager requesting information that would allow us to do a job to know which communities are in the area based on those criteria. Would that information be available, or should that be a question for the WBAI general manager?
Yeah, I think that's more managers than the PD's question. I have one more question of the PD's, and that is, you know, a lot of you guys have paid programmer strips, and I don't really understand the relationship of the PD to a paid programmer in terms of your influence over the programming content or what happens in paid programmers. Is it at all different? Is the relationship at all different for paid programmers and your relationship to it than it is for unpaid programmers? And the reason I ask is I know that with unpaid programmers, there's one level of autonomy. Is it exactly, are some people just paid, and but your relationship to them is the same whether they're paid or not, or is there a different relationship? And the specific reason I ask is, going back to this question about how resources are allocated, if we have, say, at three or four of the stations, paid programmers doing a strip, like at K, we have a morning show, it's done 5 days a week, I believe we had one paid programmer and one halftime producer on it. And if there's another show at another station with the same, then you're getting the same five-hour strip covered by, you know, three full-time equivalents. Well, if you could put some of those together and have, you talked about collaboration, if you can ask paid programmers, if you have the power to tell them, we want you 2 days a week, all five of you or all six or all three of you around the network who are paid, we want you to collaborate on producing a show for your time slot that would be appealing to your audience. Is that something that's possible within the kind of collaboration you're talking about, pooling your local paid programming resources in that way? Well, I'm at some point, and we don't have time now, but I'd be really interested to know whether there's any difference in the relationship of what program directors can and can't do with respect to paid people and what you ask of them versus unpaid. And if Bernard wants to speak to it, that'd be great.
You've got Rip over here, too.
Oh, you want to follow on that question?
No, let's hear from Bernard.
Okay.
He stood right up.
He was nodding another time when I was talking.
Yeah. And maybe I'll go back to that first while I'm up here. That the you're right. The board did impose on all the stations, as a remedy for losing a lot of audience to NPR, that there would be a morning drive and an evening drive program at all the stations.
Did everybody know that? That was a major change in the history of Pacifica?
Yes, in the 90s.
Right. And as a result of that, what we got at WBAI was a morning strip that we called the wake-up call, and in the evening a talk-back strip from 3 to 5. But what the board never did was give us adequate resources to run those programs. We were lucky at WBAI because we had two very dedicated people in the morning, and we were able to attract a lot of volunteers. So we were very successful. But as time went on, and 50% of that group moved on to other things.
Actually, 100% moved on to other things, right?
they took with them over 60% of the resources. Anyway, and as a result, our morning show has suffered since that,
right,
then, because we don't have what works in the morning, or preferably a male and a female, with a lot of diverse... Okay, you can explain that
keep,
to me later.
Keep going.
But
Bernard,
we found out that what works is a formula that works. In addition, of course, they have to have some knowledge, some general knowledge about the rest of the world. But that kind of works. And some understanding of radio, how that operates. But once the resources left us, we've not been able to get that team, that working formula, together again, because right now we have one person
exactly
in the morning. And as a result, our revenue has suffered.
Right.
It has also gone down. But I would like to say that what we need, since that we saw that that can work, is additional revenue to get the full complement that we need that has worked successfully.
What about the question of getting, in other words, if you hired, you can hire one person for 5 days or two people for two and a half, if you pooled resources that individual stations have on programming, where each station only has programming that's not quite adequate to do it, do you guys think over the course of the next 6 months you could figure out any way to pool those paid programming resources to make better stuff within existing budgets, which isn't to say we shouldn't be finding, you know, additional budgets, but I would like to see a sort of real rationale for the ways in which payment goes to certain producers, what the rationale is, what is being produced, and the different thinking people have about it, as opposed to, well, it just happened that way because a couple things happened in the past, and now this is where we are, and so, you know, this is how it is.
Well, that's difficult in the morning because it happens at different times throughout our network.
Go ahead, yeah.
I think the magic is not the male-female dynamic. I think the magic is chemistry. You and Amy had a chemistry that hasn't been replaced. And, you know, if you could find that again, I think you could replicate it. But it doesn't always work. Two people don't always click. And it's I don't think it's a matter of gender.
Mm-hmm. The reason why I said male-female is because I brought to it a lot of my experience and understanding as a male. She brought to it a lot of her experience and understanding as a woman. And it created, that's what created the dynamic. You know, the sharing of our experiences and exploring other experiences.
Okay. Bertel, and then we're going to take a 5-minute break, and then we're going to have the archives director report, and of course we all recognize this is a beginning, not an ending, right? This conversation, Bertel. Yeah.
So, Dave. Dave.
Go ahead.
Concerning your questioning about maybe using the same resources at different stations to do morning shows and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think one problem with that is the morning shows are very local. You know, they're talking to the communities that are going to work in the morning. And so it would be very difficult to have many different stations put this together and address, you know, each individual station and make them feel that this is their local, hi, good morning, wake up call stuff.
I'm not so sure the creative people couldn't figure out a way to maybe have two stations collaborating that are in the same time zones. I know of two pairs of stations, at least, that are in the same time zone. But I'm not telling anybody to do anything. I'm just asking for you guys to think about a little more, like take a step back from what you're stuck in right now and think, if you, in a perfect world, if you had the total power to reorganize the way you expend money for programming, thinking about the collaborative stuff you've started to talk about, what kinds of things might be done differently? Maybe the answer is nothing, but at least I'd like to know that it was considered. You had one last thing to finish up with, Ernesto?
I just wanted to say on behalf of the staff, thank you all for all the really thoughtful questions, for the dialogue, for the back and forth, for the critical stuff as well as the positive stuff. And I think most, if not all, the staff are certainly going to be at tonight's event. So by all means, please chat with us. We will be much more amenable, of course, if you're buying. Also, yay, thank you. Also, in response to Don's question about materials and some more public relations, I just wanted to get up and recognize Ursula as well as many of you for working on the Pacifica brochures that we brought to NFCB in New Orleans. These were great to put in the hands of affiliates for new stations that have heard of Pacifica, but being able to see, I can open it up and see what some of our programming is, what some of our values are. It was just a fantastic thing. And also, who's gentleman who's not here, Pete Caracas, for revamping the Pacifica.org website, as well as the Pacifica Foundation website and the PacificaNetwork.org websites, to really provide new information to everyone. So, and the T-shirts as well. Wanted to mention the T-shirts as well. Some great stuff on by Ursula as well as Pete and John and lots of other good folks. But thank you all very much on behalf of the staff.
Thank you. And now we're going to take a 5-minute break. And please be back in your seats in 5 minutes so we can hear from Brian DeShazer, our archives director, and still keep to schedule. Thanks, everyone.